super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
This will air 9/11. We're not taping it on 9/11 because God only knows what kind of fucking nonsense they're going to pull 9/11. I mean, this is ridiculous. This guy got his 15 minutes of fucking fame down in Florida, whatever it is, Reverend the Holy Assahola is, or whatever the fuck it is, but it's Congregation of 50, that decides they're going to burn the Quran, and why not cause more fucking problems? I'm not denying his right to do something fucking stupid, but you know something? A little common sense prevails. And then you got President Obama going, asking him to stop. You're asking him to stop? You're the fucking president, for Christ's sake. Executive order, shut the bastard down. It's in the interest of national security anyway. I mean, you're all screaming this. Unfucking believable. And supposedly he made a deal with this guy, and they're going to move the mosque, and the mosque guy goes, yeah, like, fuck you all, we're going to build it anyway. It's going to be lovely. I am still on the fence whether I'm going to go over there or not. A lot of people have emailed me saying, please don't. I may have to listen this time. I don't know. It's not that I'm trying to be a pussy or anything like that, but I just got a real bad fucking feeling about this. I have a bad feeling about it every year because, like I had said before, I was over there. And two friends of mine have indirectly passed away due to the effects of the whole fucking thing. So I'm not a happy camper with any of this shit. And everybody can say what they want to say. You weren't there. For those of us who were there, whether we were, you know, three blocks away or 13 miles away, it don't matter. We were there. We felt the whole impact. So there's no way you're going to even say we know what you went through because you fucking don't. Okay? So with that in mind, I just hope nothing happens. And, you know, my prayers still go out to, you know, the survivors and their families and stuff. And the saddest part is people are still dying from this shit through, you know, diseases, lung disease and shit from the debris they breathe and stuff like that. But it seems like nobody's doing nothing about that either. All the controversy centered on this fucking mosque. I say don't let it happen. I know Donald Trump even jumped in offering to just buy the fucking thing and end it. And now all of a sudden, well, maybe we don't want to sell. You know, get the fuck out. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's how I feel. And I just wanted to air that because we've been bouncing back and forth on Facebook and things. And like I've said a lot of shit and I meant everything I said. So read my posts. But anyway, this show is going to be called The Drunken Stoned Out Stumbling on the Road to Cinema Wasteland. And we're going to call my good buddy and promoter, Ken Keish. And he's going to navigate us through the murky depths and bumpy roads of what is now a cinema wasteland. So we're going to call Ken, so we'll be right back.
Invaders from another galaxy. Unholy overlords with their fiendish, diabolical mind machine. Fantastic invasion of planet Earth. A mind-bending voyage in 3D. Fantastic invasion of planet Earth. A thrilling science fiction adventure in widescreen 3D space vision. Fantastic invasion of planet Earth. Rated PG. Don't miss it.
Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Jackalope 105 FM.
We are back, and we have Ken Keish with us, the promoter and founder of Cinema Wasteland. Welcome back to the show, Ken.
Hey, always a pleasure, Pete. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. We call this the Drunken Stoned Out Stumbling Down the Road to Cinema Wasteland show.
Yeah, except I'm kind of really relatively sober tonight, I think, for the first time ever.
Oh, shit.
I just walked in the door. Yeah, I walked in the door about 20 minutes ago from seeing Resident Evil 3D for free. Free. Everything's better for free.
Free is always good.
Yeah, well, I hate that. Those premiums, like, hey, you want it? We're going to put it out in 3D. Doesn't really add to the movie, but we nick you for another $5.
Oh, hell, it's 10 here. 10 more for 3D here in Kansas City.
Generally, I go to a matinee because I'm cheap as can be, and I figured out that your average 90-minute movie nowadays costs you like 10 or 12 cents a minute to watch. So when you start thinking about it that way, somebody's making some cash in it, and I know it ain't the three of us.
I got to ask you something. Remember back in the day when we'd see Andy Warhol in 3D or Space Hunter or, you know, Friday the 13th Part 3 even, or Parasite? Sure. They didn't add extra money. That was just kind of a cool thing that went along with it. It wasn't like it was a, let's charge more for this.
And I've every movie you've mentioned sucked.
I liked them all. Yeah. I liked them all.
I did, too. I'm a sucker for gimmick movies, man. And I'll bet you I got 30 pair of them, you know, glasses with the movie promo written on the side.
Well, I got to tell you right here, Pete, you got to admit, it was Demi Moore's best movie, Parasite. Come on.
Parasite actually gave me a headache.
Did it?
For 2 days. I don't know, maybe it was the shit I was drinking.
I was
going
to say, I think it had something to do with what was going on around the movie. Yeah.
Did that have early Stan Winston effects, or was that Ed French?
That was, I think that was Stan. That was early Stan, early days, yep. Stan.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love that stuff. And, I do,
man. I'm a sucker for gimmick movies. I had to race out to see Piranha 3D. And
I loved it. Yeah, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but I could have watched it flat, man. It had everything you wanted in a movie. The death before the credits, 300 pair of boobs. You know, 500 dead douchebags, and even some of the main characters were dead. I mean, it was the only thing that would have been made it even better is if they killed the kids.
Well, you know, that's we were talking off the air about James Cameron and what a douche move it was for him to go out and attack that movie. I'm like, dude, you know, there's so many movies you could be attacking that have come out. Like Clash of the Titans was the worst 3D movie I'd ever seen, just because.
Oh yeah, that just looked off.
Oh yeah, the guy's hair was like separating.
I turned it the fuck off. I couldn't watch it.
Well, in the theater, Liam Neeson's hair would separate from his head and like zoom out at you. It was really bizarre. I don't even know what was going on.
I mean, it looked really cool, but I was sitting there thinking, God, it looks like everybody's just standing in front of a green screen.
Yeah, they are nowadays. Yeah, unfortunately. But you know what? The thing is, James Cameron got his start doing Piranha 2, and anyone that's seen that knows.
That's
you know,
what
Jim,
I was just going to say.
Come on, buddy.
He's going to go and bash Piranha, but, you know, he's the guy who had the great idea to make him fly.
Yeah, well, and
right.
But I don't know if you've been watching those like Galaxy of Terror, Forbidden World. They've been reissuing the Roger Corman stuff, and on the behind the scenes, they talk about
got them all stacked up.
Good. On the back, they talk about the Jim Cameron on there, and they're talking about how even back then he was kind of like a visionary and stuff. But they said even then his ego would flare out of control for no reason at all. He was just like, I don't know, he would take control of the back lot at Roger Corman's back lot, and Roger would have to come down and say, Jim, come here, let's have a chat, because he would just, like, lose his mind.
I'm going to give him a shred of credit and tell him that at least his ego has paid off now for 30 years. So, come on, he's done some good stuff, and they were all part two. Like, Piranha Part 2 was great. Terminator Part 2 was better than the first one, you know.
I mean, you know what? He's done good things, but Avatar, to me, is highly overrated, and the only reason it's the number one moneymaker of all time is because the tickets are $22 a pop, if not $25, to see it, you know?
I couldn't watch it. The character designs were so incredibly unappealing to me, and the story was so spit-drivel and stupid, I couldn't watch it. It was like, man, it's kind of like reminds me of the story you read in a coloring book, and then I didn't like the, you know, maybe they should have made them all different colors every scene and it would have caught my attention. But they were just some ugly-ass characters, man. It was like, what are these androgynous, I don't know what they are, blue and green things.
Stretched out Smurfs. They threw some Smurfs on the rack.
Yeah, they were kind of, Smurfs crossbred with lizards or something. I don't know. I didn't like
Only them. You would throw in a Smurf reference. Some old bleak fucking. Was an '80s phenomenon, wasn't it?
I think it was early '80s cartoon. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I have a feeling we're all too old to really remember Smurfs.
The Smurfs. Man.
I do know that Jerry Falwell is now being ass fucked in hell by a Teletubby, but I never saw those either.
So. Well, me either. No, I was never around for those. Thank goodness. But yep, the old Smurfs, man. We used to always think because Godzilla was on. Pretty much either right before or during the Smurfs, and I always thought to myself, if only Godzilla would stomp on those little blue bastards, that song would be over.
Think about it. There were hundreds and hundreds of Smurfs, but there was only one Smurfette.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. Yeah.
Yeah,
there really was. In those cartoons, there was one chick, so she was either happy or sad.
Yeah. Sure, them Smurfs were just banging each other. That's the way it was, you know?
Well, they're French. So, yeah, you know how the French
like,
are.
They're all like They're all like Republican politicians.
Oh.
They just meet in a men's room.
Yeah, those...
Hey, let's wide stance each other in a men's room, Larry Craig style.
Yeah, see, those guys are the French, one of the two. It's
we'll go
always a problem.
Our trophy wife we haven't had sex with since we had one baby. And call ourselves happily married. So.
That's funny.
So far, we haven't said one word that would entice anybody to go to your show right now.
No, we haven't. I don't think we said one word to entice anybody to want to talk to us, actually.
Well, I'm going to let you have your show back, Pete. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hijack.
No, I wasn't. It would have veered off in the left field like it always does anyway. You know?
Yeah, it's probably true.
Hey, well, if you go to a matinee showing, I'll end that conversation with, go ahead and watch Resident Evil 3D or whatever it's called. It was fun, and hey, guess what? They ended it with another one coming up.
Go figure. It's already on the list, yeah, for next summer or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Machete? Who saw Machete? Pete, did you see
Machete? I love Machete.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. You know something? We came up with there was only one really bad point in the whole movie, and that's Tom Savini wasn't killed.
Golly.
Yeah. I was out with Rob and Britt. We saw it, and we all turned around. And we go, you know something? Savini didn't get killed.
Yep.
Yeah, but he's not afraid to get killed or covered in goo.
Well, we know that, but we just wanted him to get killed. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. The longer you know Tom, the more you want to see him killed. So. No, I'm sorry, Tom. If you're listening, believe me, there's no wrong opinion of you.
That is awesome. So you liked it, Ken? You thought it was good?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Like I say, it was, you know, escapist. Of course, I, you know, pounded like six beers before I sat down. So, and it was free.
There you go.
I saw The Last Exorcism for free, and it reminded me of Blair Witch Project without those spooky sticks hanging from trees.
God, the ending, though, was so awful. Well, how could you even get that? You know what? I got so angry because everything was going okay until it got to the last 20 minutes, and I don't even know. It's like they completely forgot they'd made a previous hour because they threw away everything they'd done.
Yeah. On Last Exorcism?
Yeah, yeah. It was terrible. Terrible.
I kind of liked the ending. The ending was kind of like way out of left field. It was like, oh, man, cool. Everybody dies.
Yeah, but if you look at
the movie where everybody dies, of course. It automatically gets a point when everybody dies for
but,
me.
Well, I agree with that, but getting there was like, okay, they set all these rules and we saw all this stuff happen that they basically threw away and said never happened, and you're going...
Yeah, they did. They kind of said, well, hurry, we're running out of film, rush it up.
Yeah, let's figure out
whatever
what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, we got 8 minutes left and that's all the film we got, so we need to get this thing in the can.
I think it was 8 minutes long, and then they like took this 18-minute long or 8-minute long short, and then they turned it into this big
long... Hey, I saw it for free again, man. That's one good thing about in me. They send me a lot of passes.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
After 24 years in business, they go, hey, we might as well at least let you see it. Maybe you'll talk about it on a radio show or something.
Well, you know what? I'm talking about it, and I'm telling everyone, wait for the DVD if you absolutely have to see it. And then when you do, rent it from Redbox for $1.
Just wait to find somebody else that rented it.
Right, and because you'll find it in their trash can the next day.
We don't advocate that. We just practice it. You know?
The next
we're not telling you to steal it. We're saying we will.
Oh, you don't have to steal it. You don't have to steal it. It'll be in the trash the next day. You just walk by their house and go, oh, look, someone got The Last Exorcist last night.
I have more movies than I'll ever live to watch.
But that little, you know, copyright law says it's not really stealing it if you keep it for your personal use. So I guess you can just make a bunch to give to your friends since a blank disc is like, you know, 20 cents.
I don't even think it's worth a blank disc, dude. $2
worth.
Don't ruin a blank disc with The Last Exorcism. Don't do it, man. It's I'd rather use that as a coaster.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, there's a lot of movies I'd use as a coaster.
Todd, are you done now?
I'm sorry, I'm done.
No, you're not. You're not fucking sorry.
He's never.
You're not. Don't even fucking lie to me.
All right, I'm turning my microphone off.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, sit there, think of midgets.
That was just wrong.
At the show.
Somebody had to throw that reference in there.
You don't even have to worry about midget porn because I don't have any. I have too much Grindhouse stuff to sell. I'm not even worried about that. The porn. The porn's already been shipped to Cleveland or wherever it went. I don't even know. Pam goes nuts because all she sees is these big boxes, you know, with my name and return address on them.
Piled up on the porch. Hey, look, there's more. I keep telling her, if they just say 4:82 p.m., I just stack them in the basement.
You leave them outside, nobody will bother
them. Yeah, I don't think so. I'll put them in the basement. There ain't nothing down there, and I don't want to go down there either.
But anyway, on with the show. This is the 10th anniversary of Cinema Wasteland, actually.
It is. It's actually our 11th fall show, so I always consider these things a little different, you know, like, but I guess you get married and your first year is your first anniversary, even though you've been, you know, but show-wise, I always figure show one, show two, so show 10 is kind of like your 10th anniversary, but nah, it's the 11th fall show, or I guess the 10th complete year. So I can't believe we've done 18 of these in 10 years. I didn't think I'd do three. But we're humping along.
Yeah, and you let the fans vote on the best returning guests or the most popular guests or something, right?
Yeah, I did. What we did a couple shows ago is we had ballots. I noticed I had over 70 people that weren't with us. This is as of a year and a half ago that weren't with us in 2.5 years. So that's over 70 people that haven't been here in 4 years now as of today, which is a lot considering everywhere I go, every convention I go seems like the same guest list is there. So I told everybody I'd let, you know, invite back the top five people, and I decided to split it up, and I invited three of the top 10 back this show, and I'll invite three of the top 10 back next show, and the fans get an extra, a bonus pick out of that. So I kind of split them up because we had a bunch of first-timers, so I figured, what the heck, and who wins by a landslide? The godfather of Gore himself, Herschel Gordon Lewis, who he hasn't been here in 8 years now.
Wow.
It's 2003, so we have Herschel coming back for this show. He'll be screening his new, he made a new movie last year, The Uh-Oh Show, which is that demented game show he's been wanting to do for years, and he finally got it made, and it's looking for a distributor, so he'll be on hand to preview that to the crowd. And Reggie Bannister was on one of the top lists. He hasn't been here in 7 or 8 years. He'll be back, of course, from Phantasm. And Leave It to the Wasteland crowd, Camille Keaton from I Spit on Your Grave. And
oh, yeah.
What have they done? She came in number 3 or 5. So we have her back, so... that's pretty cool, too. I got to hand it to the Wasteland crowd, because I don't think any other show fans on Earth would actually go, ooh, we got to see Camille Keaton again. So I love that. You know, that's wonderful. And then, of course, we have Gloria Hendry from, you know, Black Caesar and Savage Sisters, Hell Up in Harlem. Carol Speed's coming in from Abby and Big Bird Cage and the Mac, and Austin Stoker's coming with her. He was also in Abby, of course, Assault on Precinct 13, Horror High, Zebra Killer. You ever seen Zebra Killer?
That is the
coolest Black Exploitation film ever. He plays a bad guy, and one guy asks him, you know, how he smokes these little cigars, and somebody asks him, why do you always smoke them little cigars? And he looks at the guy and he goes, because they're not white. So... It's got the greatest dialogue. It's another William Girdler film. He made it right there around the Abbey time. So, who else do we got? We got Robert John, who was never done a show before. He was in... Carol Speed's never done a show before either, but he was Alejandro Jodorowsky's son in El Topo. So he played, you know, son of El Topo, and he was in the Yum Yum Girls. He hasn't had a big career, but I figure... Wasteland fans will know who he is. And and of course we have Jim Van Beber from Ohio coming in. He's got if the man only makes two movies in his lifetime, he's got Deadbeat at Dawn and the Manson Family under his belt, which is twice as good as a lot of people I know trying to put out independent films. And he's got fans kind of excited. We're going to do a little, they're going to film in a little Deadbeat at Dawn, a little documentary on Jim at the show. And, of course, Pete's got Carter Stevens coming in, adult film producer, director, performer. He did, you know, Wicked Schoolgirls, some of the Avon stuff. And him and Pete told me, they actually used his studio to shoot that crappy ending to Snuff in it. He didn't have anything to do with it. He just rented them out to space. But he's coming in to sit on Pete's panel on Saturday and meet with fans. So we have our usual oddball assortment, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got Mike Watt and Amy Lynn Best coming back.
They're old regulars. You know, they come in. They don't have a new film this time, but you can pick up any of their old ones. Sure, Tom Sullivan from Evil, the Evil Dead effects man and animator is always with us. He's part of the family. Pete's always there.
Ruby LaRocca is coming in. Ruby's coming. Ruby LaRocca. Got her on there.
Ruby LaRocca will be there. She's there coming in with the Chainsaw Kiss crowd. We have all kinds of, if you go to the website, we have, we treat everybody the same. So you'll see that some people blow off as secondary guests. We just consider them all guests at a Wasteland show. Everybody's welcome.
We also have a Wasteland wedding that I'm presiding over as the Reverend 42nd Street.
Yes. That's it. Yeah, we have the Reverend 42nd Street Pete this time.
Dave Young and Melissa are going to tie the knot. Or tie something up anyway. They said they want me to...
We'll tie them up in knots.
Well, they said they want me to make this as blasphemous as humanly possible, so I...
Well, you could always call her Heather at the altar. That would work good.
Are you coming out for this? I mean, seriously.
I am doing my best to come out for that. I'm kind of disappointed. I can't get a hold of Chris.
Dave said if you needed help, he would help you. So email Dave. He said he would help you if you needed help.
I can't afford the plane ticket, so I was trying to find someone to ride with me.
Email him.
Okay. Have you heard from Griff? I thought maybe I could talk him into
riding. Griff was in the hospital last time I talked to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going anywhere.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping he'd ride with me.
No, he said, fuck you. I don't want to ride with him. He's too cheap to fly, so.
Ah, whatever. Whatever, jerk.
Well, what? God, that's keep going up. So much hassle, you know?
Dude, I could fly to L.A. twice for what it cost me to come to Ohio once. What is the deal with that?
Why don't you just take a regular plane instead of, Kansas City Methodist Airlines,
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm trying to take a regular plane.
If you don't make this wedding, you don't know how deep in shit you're going to be.
I know, and I'm like, it's not even my fault.
In addition to me, and I know I'm a good holy man because I did my first miracle a couple of weeks ago. I made a deaf man blind, but... I'm telling you.
I was going to say, if you're flying from Kansas City about halfway here, do you have your mid-flight snake shaking?
Dude, it's terrible. You have to pull off, and it's funny. There's no nonstop flights there, so it's like, really? Really? It's not even that far. Why can't we get a nonstop?
No, in the grand scheme of flying, it's a two-and-a-half-hour flight.
And you're going,
there's
come on.
There's nothing between us.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
5 hours to
turn
get
around
there.
And go to Chicago.
I know. It goes completely the opposite way and then goes to you. It's like, what?
Yeah. I never understood that. I get people, Europeans, they come in, they always have to stop in New York. I mean, it's just where you stop when you're on an international flight. So you have to stop in New York, but then they go all the way past Cleveland and stop in Chicago, then turn around and come to Cleveland. It's like, what the hell kind of flight is that?
They take me all the way to Dallas to bring me all the way back to Pittsburgh. I didn't get it at all.
You're lucky you don't go to St. Pete or something down in Florida. Why are we doing here before we go north? I never
take a bus. Isn't there a direct bus?
Dude, it's 22 hours.
A bus ride.
I'm like, what?
Well, the girls went 13 hours.
Jeez, I would do 10, 12, but 22 hours on a bus? Come on.
Todd, you know what your problem is? You don't indulge. If you indulge those 22 hours, you just fucking fly by like nothing.
Yeah, start interviewing strangers and see who you find.
I don't even think my PSP would hold up for 22 hours. It would be burnout, but, it just isn't going to work.
I'd kill somebody after 22 hours on a bus ride. I know it. They'd stop, and I'd be the only smiling bastard covered in blood left in the back of the place.
That's it.
What did he kill them with? He actually chewed their face off. I never seen a guy that fat move so fast.
Well, I will send Dave a message tomorrow and let him know that I'm having issues getting up there, but yeah.
If you don't get there, you'll have even worse issues. I wouldn't want to be you after this. Remember I said I'd demote you to altar boy?
You can't demote me. I'm such a good guy. I even wrote you a song.
It has nothing to do with me. It's the flock. I have to listen to my parishioners.
Whatever.
Come on. All right, even the Reverend Sid Haig would come on,
Well, yeah. Damn it.
He's ordained, too.
I know it.
Yeah.
And I got an ordained minister coming out from California.
Yep.
As well as Marcia, so I got all bases covered. I can't fuck this
up. Man, I gotta send in my stamped self-addressed envelope and get me a minister too.
That's right.
If I went for the deluxe package, it cost me $40.
Oh man, you got a certificate and everything that your name
I do.
On
yeah.
Yeah, I got a laminated card and all kinds of other good paperwork and stationery and shit, you know?
Yep, me too. It's the way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I could have cheaped out for the $10, you know, guess what, you know, Dominus Vobiscum, don't burn the soup type shit, you know, so.
All right,
well, you should, because that way, you know, you'd be, you know, part of the deal with, you know, Wasteland is, you know, the on-staff minister.
That'd be awesome. You can absolve everybody of their sins on Sunday.
Sounds like we're starting a little convention of them, man.
Yeah.
Ministers on staff, someone you'd actually would talk to.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we were talking before about this whole bit about this asshole who's going to burn the Koran on 9/11. Now he's not. Then he is. I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
I don't know. Somebody ought to go down and just say, you know, I hate knuckle-dragging inbreds from Florida and burn his church down. Going, I just can't stand stupid people, and this is where they congregate. I think I'll firebomb it.
Yeah, there's 50 of them. You can get 50 of them in one shot.
Make the flames go out.
Yeah.
If Jesus doesn't want you to do it, the flames will mysteriously go out.
Yeah, he's got a congregation of 50 people. I got like 2,500 people listening to me on a Saturday night. You want to put your people against my people, senor?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, grab a machete and let's go to Florida.
Yeah. I'll pay for the bus. That would be fun.
I like there's a, what's that? I can't remember where it is. It might be out by, it ain't Kansas City. It might be somewhere out there where the church always comes and bothers the strip joint, so the strip joint now goes over to the church on Sunday.
That's out by you. That's out by you somewhere in Ohio. Is on the news. Yeah.
Well, remember, man, south of Columbus, Ohio, they still enjoy having sex with farm animals and cousins, man. And that's the number one. Those are they tie, I think, for the number one thing to do on a Saturday night. Is have sex with farm animals or your cousin in here below. You know, Columbus, Ohio. So it's like you can tell the farther south you go in Ohio by just, you know, how many people smile and how few teeth they have. It's like, holy shit. I thought I was kind of happy being from Cleveland until I left Cleveland and just went a half an hour south. It's like, I'm turning around. I want my little blue spot.
That's funny. You know what?
Yeah, it's really, man. It's like, I don't know. I'm not embarrassed to be from Cleveland, but that Ohio thing, I mean, we got that douchebag John Boehner here, that guy with the fake orange tan who's, you know, gets on TV and says his main goal in life is to just fuck everything up so he can be in power. It's like, what kind of dude? Hey, I hope you don't get in a car accident and still live, John. Really, I don't. But, yeah, it's like, what the hell's the matter with Ohio?
I don't know. I don't know where to live anymore.
Yeah, ain't no good place to live. That's somewhere where there's not population. I'm going to New Zealand, where sheep outnumber people. Not because I have this thing for sheep, mind you, but at least you can always, like, make some warm clothes, and there's always something to eat and no one to bother you.
They just had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that. Okay, I ain't going there either. I'll just stay here in Cleveland and lock my door.
I don't think there's any earthquakes headed for Cleveland.
I just put a patio out back. I'll go sit on that and wave to the Korean lady. Still, I never talked to in 4 years, but every time I wave to her, she runs away. So, like, her house butts up to the back of mine. I don't know who she is. I know all my neighbors, but I wave to her, and she hides behind a bush with a punji stick. It's like, God damn. The Korean lady. I'm glad we don't have a dog. I think she's burying a big pot in the backyard.
Oh, they put that cabbage and shit in the ground.
Yeah, and a dog.
Kimchi.
Whatever they put in there with it. Yeah, I don't know what they do.
Yeah, if you smell something rotten, that's good. You might think it's a dead squirrel, but it's not. It's kimchi.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't smell too good, but I'm Polish, so you should see some of the crap we eat that, you know, looks like pig jello. It's like, I'm not putting that to my lips.
Man, I draw the line on anything I can't chew.
Well, you don't have to chew that stuff either, but you can't. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I'd just rather throw it. It looks like something you pick up in glops and throw.
Yeah, really. Did Todd leave? Okay. I you got awful quiet.
Man, I'm letting you do your deal. I'm hanging out in the Batcave here. I'm not bugging you.
Well, you know, you already fucked the whole show up, so you might as well just stay here, you know.
Thanks. See what I got to deal with, Ken. See what I got to do. I get accused of everything.
No, you're a good producer.
Yeah, don't get me started. I'll find you too. I'm always looking for a scapegoat.
Jeez. Poor bastard.
He was gonna give you a TV table outside of the men's room last show if you came up.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
What was that?
Remember you were gonna give him a TV table outside of the men's room if he came
up? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We were a card table outside the men's room. Right. Well, they moved the ATM between the men's and ladies' room now. That's where they didn't have anything there last time we were there. We were gonna slide a card table there and put a big sign over it.
Nice. Yeah,
honestly, we were gonna do that. Here, sure did. I wish we would have done it.
Jeez.
It would have been nice just for pictures.
Why?
Here, sit here.
I don't want to be so hardcore to me, man.
We weren't hardcore. You just, you know, you just non-committal about showing up there for some.
I wanted to show up.
I was laughing. It's funny.
You guys are evil. That's what you are. I wanted to be there really bad, but I just don't. Yeah, I didn't want to commit myself and not be able to follow through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's.
Well, he didn't put you on the website. He knows better.
Jeez, that's not even fair.
Hey, you do got to call me up and say you're going to be there to get stuck on the website.
Oh well, yeah, I agree.
And then because if you go there, then people ask where you're at, and I gotta look at them, shrug, and go, said he'd be here. I hate that because it doesn't matter who it is. You know, if it's you, they're still going to ask, "Where's Todd?"
Well, of course.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I don't commit unless I can for sure be there. I don't want to mess you up.
Well, that's it. I appreciate that. I'm not going to get on you about that. No. I'm good to the fans. Remember, I've only had five people cancel in 18 shows, man.
That's awesome.
I just did a show last weekend. They had twice that many cancel it on Friday. They put them up.
Jeez.
So I have a wonderful track record regardless of your, you know, where you sit on that guest list. I've still only had like 5 people in 18 shows.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Well, one of them was murdered, and that's kind of a bummer. He was
that
a buddy.
That sucked. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was pretty fucked up.
See, I was at 2 shows. See, Pete, I did make 2 of them. I only missed 1 so
you
far.
You did make 2. Yep, you did make 2 out of 2 out of the last 3. Is not bad, considering they sneak up on you every 6 months. So, yep, like I said, man, I never thought I'd run 3 of these. And when I started, it was an annual show. It was the 4th year when I started running 2 a year. By then, the fans just kind of. They, you know, begged me, hey, if you run it, we will come. It was never about making money. Then right about the time I figured out how to make a little bit of money at this game, the whole world took a giant shit, and I like need the money more than ever because it, you know, it makes up for that 35-40% my regular business dived. It's like, now I got to do it for money? This almost sucks even more than doing it not making anything.
Exactly. But
I try to have fun with it, man. I think I crammed 61 hours worth of programming into 3 days. This show, man, it is just nonstop everything. So it's a tight schedule for everything this time. So, and that's all free. I would like to point that out to all Wasteland people thinking about attending a Cinema Wasteland Movie and Memorabilia Expo. Everything we do is free. You know, you don't get nicked for like a band at night. You don't get nicked for a party. You don't get nicked to do this. You don't get nicked for a movie. You don't get nicked to get in early on Friday. You buy a 3-day pass in advance for $35, and I let you in early on Friday for simply giving me that money early so I can pay off the bills. I don't charge extra for it. So all of it's free. That's one thing I just can't do. I can't overcharge my fans. And that's very sincere. It may be the only sincere thing I say tonight. And good Lord knows I should quit calling sober so I don't have anything sincere to say. But, man, that's it. I just cannot do it. I cannot nick my fans for money, you know. Sorry. Yep. It's all, I don't know, man. It's all about the attitude. You know it. When you get here, you feel it. It's unlike any other show out there. You just feel it. You walk in the door, blammo, feels different. You leave on Sunday, you've made new friends. They're kind of like family. Y'all wave goodbye and hope I'll see you again in 6 months. No show has that feeling. I love that. I mean, that's the number one thing that keeps me going to the next show is the 3 days of the show I run. I don't think any promoter out there actually has as much fun presenting their show as I do. Because, you know, I don't care what happens. I'll take care of it. I'll roll over it, and I'm getting back to having fun. You want to bitch at me? Get the hell out and call me on Monday or Tuesday. Because it ain't working, you know. So, but yeah, I have a good time, and we were just, Pam just, it's funny today, Pam goes, we left for the weekend, so we were, advanced tickets usually went off of sale Friday, but we let them go till Monday morning when we clicked them over. I sent out I stuffed 96 envelopes today just from weekend ticket sales.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a show.
It is going to be a hell of a show. I think we're up a little bit on advanced tickets. We're up a lot on advanced single days. Most shows don't give you money off on a single. I give you, you know, $5 off on a single day if you order in advance, and we're way up on those. But we're probably a little up on 3 days for the date. But they're still selling. You can still order them. If you're listening to this on the regular Saturday night schedule, you probably still have a day or two to order them online. Because they'll go off of sale. We say tomorrow. We're taping on a Thursday. We say Friday, but we'll let it go till Monday again. It's for all you forgetful people. Yeah, I don't know. Just can't do the greed thing, man. Ain't no fun in greed.
Greed sucks.
Mm-hmm.
The whole money thing is just, you know, it's overrated.
Yeah, well, I found out a long time ago that it's actually very cheap to be me. I don't live beyond my means. I buy my liquor by the half gallon, my beer by that giant jumbo 30-block case, and I eat very little for a guy my size. So, you know, I wear clothes with holes in them, and my newest car is 9 years old right now, so it's cheap to be me.
So, that's the way I live. What the hell?
Yeah, you know.
So. Yeah, one thing you got to have the big screen.
Yeah, well, I got 54-inch or something. My TV died, so I had to go buy a new one, and then I bought one of them 1080i's, you know, them new ones.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I slapped that baby up and got that digital cable through my... That shit is not kind to people's face. Man, you can look at the makeup they cake on people, man. It's like... Woo! You shouldn't have broke down that fourth wall. We should go back to the slightly fuzzy that made everybody look a little better. You know, even guys like, you know, you watching a 24 one night, and Kiefer Sutherland's actually, shit, he's got to be 5 years younger than me. He looks 15 years older than me. I'm like, stay out of the sun, motherfucker, and quit smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. You're sucking the life out of your face. Hey, I want to go stand next to him so I look like his younger friend.
Golly, that's harsh. True.
Hey, it ain't me, man. He should yell at the TV for plopping his face up there, making it look that old.
I have to admit, makeup,
come out with that big powder puff thing.
I tell you what, 1080i, I wouldn't change a thing. I just love Breakfast at the Manchester Morgue and City of the Living Dead. Man, those movies look amazing. Can't believe it.
Oh yeah, well, I bought one of them little Blu-ray players too and stuffed it on there, and you slap it in there, and it's like, you know, a little too amazing sometimes. It's like, holy mackerel.
It is. I agree. And, you know, still to this day, I have to promote this. The still rated the best Blu-ray release yet of the format is The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight? Well, you know, I enjoyed that movie.
I loved
it. That a pop. Well, they revamped. I mean, I couldn't, after the second Tim Burton movie, I just couldn't watch any of them. So it was like, somebody's got to do something or Batman is dead on the screen. So I was kind of happy when they came out with that one. It was like, all right, Christian Bale can be a big douche. I don't care. He was still an effective Batman. can't, my friend. I don't have to call him names in space. Well, if he was my friend, I would.
Well, you almost kind of have to say, though, if you were him and that kind of crap was going on and you're trying to make a movie, it would piss anybody off, I think. Some
sure
deuce
would,
running around back there dropping
like you don't
a
want
light.
Somebody in the, yeah, you don't want somebody in the corner throwing your concentration off when your entire job revolves around, like, do your scene and stay in character, now sit and wait. Do your scene, sit and wait. Do yeah, that's actually, it is a tougher way to make a living than a lot of people think.
I agree.
Especially if you're a decent actor.
Yep, yep.
If you're a decent actor, it's a tough way to make a living. Now, if you're one of them people who just plays the same role because you only have one dimension in your acting resume, then it's probably a lot easier.
True. We know a few of those.
Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah, I don't see Larry the Cable Guy actually, like, you know, going on the set and going, you know, this needs to be a dramatic moment here.
Yeah, right.
He's got one character, so he just plays that character. You know, but I just saw something by him that wasn't all that funny. That's what made me think of it.
I think it's time to change. Yeah, no more of that same old stuff for sure. For Larry, Larry's worn out his welcome. Of course, for me, it's never been that good because
kind of funny live though. Comic shtick is still funny to me.
Yeah, but that's because you don't live next to the guy.
The whole redneck thing and the guy's from Nebraska, you know?
I was going to say, you don't live next to the guy, and we have those guys like at every corner stop, you know?
It's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, sadly, he's just making fun of those guys. You know, he's from where there's not too many people, you know? He's up in Nebraska.
It's awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah,
the guy I liked the best out of that whole crew was Ron White.
Yeah, Ron's cool.
Well, Ron White, I'm always partial to anybody who insists on sitting there and sucking down a half a bottle of scotch while
yeah, and smoking a stogie on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah, Ron White was funny too, but I always liked him as his show went on. You know, as he's sitting there half in the bag and sweaty and just getting mad. It's like, hey, I have those days. I understand. Yeah. Yeah, well, what else are we talking about?
Well, we just veered off and whatever the fuck. We'll go back to the show. Well, actually, are we showing any new films this time?
Films? I don't know what we got. Well, we are screening Abby, although I'm not going to mention Eric Caden's name because he lost one reel. So fortunately, we made a dub of the 16mm print of Abby. So I'm showing that. And we got Phantasm on film, and it's actually uncut. It's got a little more nudity in it and some funeral scene that they cut out of the... I don't know why the film print we have is actually longer than every released print, but it's about 30 or 40 seconds longer, actually. And it's gorgeous. It's showing at midnight. What else are we showing? Track of the Moon Beast. Remember that movie? Where the guy got the hunk of meteor stuck in his head and turns into a...
Yeah, wasn't that a really early Rick Baker effect?
It's either maybe a Rick Baker suit.
I think so.
That or it's a Blasco suit. It might be a really early Rick Baker. I want to say it's Rick Baker.
I think so too.
Yeah. And then we're showing Don Droller's Alien Factor too.
Well, that's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, we have that on film, and it's a beautiful print, man. The colors are all, you know, nice, no fade. So we're showing that, and then El Topo we naturally show, and one night at midnight, I think El Topo's going on with an intro by Robert John. And then one night we have, there's always two things going on, so, you know, you get two midnight. Yeah. I think we'll,
I got
the Grave is a midnight movie one night.
You got that documentary Under the Scares, I think, too, right?
Under the Scares. That's kicking the show off on Friday. By the time I got it in my hands, we were running out of time slots. So I had an early Saturday afternoon slot and the opening slot on Friday, which is about 5 or 6 o'clock. So it's going to open the show.
Cool.
There's a whole bunch of people. Didn't that guy come into my show and do interviews one time?
Yeah, Hugo and Steve.
Yeah, I think he did. Because he had asked me, how do I get an interview? I said, well, you, you buy a ticket, preferably in advance, to save yourself the most money, and then you walk in and you ask everybody for an interview. He went, oh. I went, yes, indeed. It's the cheapest place on earth to film. I said, yeah, that's what I told him. I remember he was here a show or two ago, so it's actually a very, pretty well done documentary. We got a little documentary Saturday morning on the Sheik, made by, you know, a longtime fan from Michigan. That was the Sheik's stomping ground, and you know, as Pete will detest it, there would probably not be hardcore wrestling today without the Sheik and his run from what was it, about 1964 to 1980-81.
No, he was even going. Yeah, he was still going over in Japan. Him and Funk.
Well, his run ended in Michigan in 1981 when he lost the Kobo Arena contract. So, but he kept going until the mid '80s, and then hell, he only retired for. I don't think he was retired for 2 years, and before he passed away, he quit and blammo. He just died quickly after that. But he was the guy who brought barbed wire and fire and all that stuff to Japan. They didn't even do it before the Sheik brought it there.
Oh, yeah.
He was rolling around on the mat in barbed wire and fire in his 60s. So all that's covered in this little documentary, too, I might say. So
yeah, it's a pretty cool one. I saw it, too.
Yeah, I mailed it to you, and then, you know, we decided that we're not going to take fans, you know, the hardcore wrestling hour away, so it's first thing in the morning, then we'll follow it up with our usual hour of hardcore wrestling. As a matter of fact, fans could go, it's been posted since the first of the month. If you go on the Wasteland website, just go to the Films and Events page, and right at the top there it says, click here for weekend schedule of events, and the entire weekend schedule is already posted. So we're pretty good. We won't usually don't venture off of, you know, more than about 10 or 15 minutes on any time, and it's tight. But I'll bring my whips and keep everybody to task. So,
I'm working on the hardcore wrestling hour as we speak.
Right. Yeah. So we have that. There's movies playing, all kinds of indie stuff. That's the other thing I always wanted to do with my show was. Ever since the days of Video Wasteland, I started that in 1987, and we had the store. We always supported the indie filmmakers. I carried all of Todd's stuff back then, you know, in the Shot on Video days, and Ron Bonk stuff, and just so many people. If I could remember their names right now, there's just so many of them. I carried all their stuff. Deadbeat at Dawn, I carried it right when it came out on Electro Video. I think they had about 9 releases on Electro Video, but that was one of them. But when I went into this, I wanted to have a film festival that celebrated indie film within the convention. So we jam as many of them as we can, you know, during the weekend, which is usually anywhere between 6 and 10 of them. But we have plenty of indie film stuff you'll remember, Drive House stuff related about the guests. So there's. Toe Tag Pictures has their new film premiering at the show. A couple premieres at the show. A lot of indie guys like to premiere stuff at the show. They race to get it done. Because there's no real market for it. You know, they can go to a film festival and you pay to submit your film, and they take your check, they cash it, and you'd wonder where your time slot is until you get there, you know. I don't like to do that to people. Again, we go back to the greed thing. I don't like to charge them to show their film. Then I have to listen to them, bitch, you didn't show mine. I got a bad spot. I look at it this way. If I'm running it for free, you can't bitch at me. You can't tell me you have a lousy spot. You can't bitch at me for passing your film up. Like, I got about 5 zombie films. Everybody's making a zombie film these days. I chose one. And I chose the guy who bought a tables film. That's right. I played favorites. Hey, 2011, I'm making everybody a promise now. It's the year without a zombie. There's 18 shows. I don't think we've had a show without a zombie-related guest. I mean, since I started everything, Dawn of the Dead, I ran that reunion first. Now it's so wore out, 10 years later, I've pretty much told everybody it will never happen again at a Wasteland show, first and last. But 2011, I've kind of bummed everybody out because when they all ask me, hey, when can we sneak in? Because they're all friends. I'm like, 2012. I'm going year without a zombie this year. Yeah, it's just different. You know, I'm going to kick off my second decade different than I did my first one.
Yeah, kick off the second one with like a Howling or American Werewolf in London cast reunion or something.
It's good, but there's just not a whole lot of people there. I mean, like, well, there's two main guys and John Landis, and, you know, and everybody else was a corpse. I think next year I've already got some people lined up for next April already. I mean, the Evil Dead reunion, everybody but Bruce, because I'm not paying him. So the lady, they haven't all been here. It's been 9 or 10 years since they were here, like the second or third show. So they're coming in. I got some oddball, John Carl Beekler's coming in.
That's
cool. He doesn't do too many of the things.
Nope.
Bill Forsyth is coming back. He was voted back. I can't remember who my vote backs were. I have to look at my list, but I swear I know it's the Evil Dead crew and Bill Forsyth right now. Oh, Rogero Diodato should be here, so we're actually going to do a little Diodato cast. I'll have some guys from Cannibal Holocaust. Dave Hess will probably join him. He was in, three of his films? Maybe Michael Berryman.
Oh, heck yeah.
Worked with him about 6 or 7 times. Diodato. So, yeah, I already have some people lined up. Hopefully, keep your fingers crossed and Radley Metzger will join the bit. I'd love to get him. He'd fit right in.
Diodato would be great for a Grindhouse panel.
Diodato, his English is okay, but it's a little slow, so sometimes you have to repeat your questions and wait for a nice, slow answer, so I don't know exactly how good he would be for the client. He'll do it. He's nice enough to do it, but that much I know. But I don't know if he'd be the greatest. I have a feeling I'm going to do a panel with him and everybody who worked with him anyway. So that one might take a little time. But we've done panels with guys and brought interpreters up. Well, you know us. We get around everything.
Oh yeah.
Our panels are always well attended and fun. We try to make them informative. I always got my buddy Art Ettinger with me from editor of Ultraviolet magazine up helping me with my panels. I'll throw a shout out to UV and Art on that one. But yeah, the whole Wasteland crew is here. I just finished the front of the art, man. I'm behind. I just finished the front. I do all the, in addition to everything else I do, a little known thing is I also do all the artwork for the show, including the t-shirt designs and everything else. I was under too much stress to do anything original, so I copped the front of Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. If, you know, everybody sitting in a corpse partying with a corpse. So I copped that idea, but I just put me and my wife's head and A. Ghastly Ghoul's head on all the people in the coffin.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get them printed. All I have to do is finish the back art, coat some screens, shoot them, let them dry, block them out, and get them started before I leave next Thursday to do another show.
Well, I guess we should say goodnight, and I want to thank Ken for coming on and hipping us to what's going on at Wasteland, even though it was probably much incoherent babbling on both of our parts, but what the fuck. Make the trip. It's worth it. So
yeah, we realized we didn't say anything tonight, but I don't know. Read between the lines.
Yeah. So until next week, and God only knows what I'm going to come up with then, stay sick.
Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Oh, why, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up. Come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Two, three, four.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the dickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.